Hi everyone, this is Sebastian Pertillo. Basically, the aim of that podcast is that if you're out there and you're a musician, maybe you're a singer, you're a producer, and you want to have input and some experiences, you want to enhance your workflow, a way of getting creative, getting inspired. And if you're looking for techniques and ways to promote yourself on the internet, I think this podcast can be interesting for you. So what's the topic today? The podcast is going to be about writing songs and producing songs for radio. The reason why I start with this is because I was producing lately a very good singer, and we were working on these tracks. And lately, I was very concerned about the vision of artists when they come up with a track that they want to release and to stick out with your music. When you want to really get people attracted, you need to have also a plan for streaming. But I don't think that the main focus should be on streaming, because terrestrial audio is still very important. And how to actually make that happen. I think that every artist needs to stay true to the music. But what does that mean? The artist writes a certain song with lyrics and a certain mood, but then it comes down to the production to establish that song in the cultural, popular environment of the moment. So that means that as an artist, you don't have to be untrue to yourself. You simply write the music that you love the most. But then you need to kind of choose the right production or the right producer, you know, that will make your sound fit. Now, there is a couple of ways to do this. And this is now actually how the remaining time of that podcast is going to be structured. I will be focusing on three different kinds of production techniques, of ways you can actually go to, and what it means for the budget, you know, what it means for you as an artist, how to think your way through, and what it means to go that way. So that's first, finding a hit producer. There's many things involved with that thing, but it's one way to go. So you can get yourself a hit producer. You can go to what I call an independent producer, which is interesting, because that producer maybe doesn't have a hit record history. You know, that producer is doing that for a living, and is a very skilled producer, very experienced one. And then there is the third way, where I also work lately with artists who want to go that way, where you actually pay producers and teachers and very skilled people, you know, like sound engineers, many different people, where you actually teach yourself. So you read books, you invest into equipment, and you start building up your own home studio, your own workflow. And you produce, you get the production skills that are needed to actually produce the music that you want to release. A legitimate way to stick out of the crowd, because at the end you will have the signature sound, because you're the only person who knows how you actually do the sound. So I'm going to talk about these three things. Let's start with the hit producer path. So when you do this, it's basically a networking thing. So you will be writing your songs, networking with people, and trying to get to the point where you actually hook up with a management or to the producer himself or herself. And if you want to reach those big producers, those what I call superstar producers, you know, it's not going to happen at a cocktail party, talking to that guy, you know, saying, Are you gonna, you know, do you have time next week on Monday afternoon, and maybe we can like check out my songs and you'd like to produce? It's not gonna work like that. The truth is, and I went through this, I had some very good networking connections in New York City and LA for producers who were actually, you know, listening to my stuff, and we were discussing the fees and everything, and it's a costly thing. So it's really a costly thing. I would say below 20k you cannot really get anything done. You know, usually the producer will decide what studio to use. He will talk to you, telling, you know, what is requested, what is needed for the great production. Then you will sit down with the management, not with the producer, and you will like talk about everything. And then if actually something happens, it will happen at a stage where you're already kind of high in the business, because you have a lot of purchasing power. You know, you need to have that budget to really make that happen. So the good thing about that path is that all you need is your songs and the budget. So that path is going to happen with a lot of work in the networking area. So you will need investors, you will need people who believe in you, who will back up your plan with money. So you will need real investors, not money that you have to pay back. You will need to find people who believe so much in you that they will be prepared to give you the money, so that you can actually sign up that contract for that production with that hit producer. Then you stand the line, because those people are very, very busy, so they don't take anybody. They also look for success stories. You know, they don't want to invest into artists who maybe are not going to make it, because they are interested to keep their success stories going on. So you will have to stand the line. So it's costly. Standing the line, talking to a lot of managers, it's going to be many, 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 many meetings, you know, talking on the phone, resending new material, working on it, on your skills, and so on. But it's doing networking, doing a lot of meetings, and finding investors. The good thing of this path is that once you bring the budget together, once you have your songs ready, once you have the networking done, you will very quickly be inside the business, because you will be produced by great names. Your chances of really being successful is going to be very high. And the question is it going to pay off for the money and the time that you've invested? So it's a legitimate way. It's a very interesting way of moving on and trying to get inside the business. But you have to be aware that this is going to be a high cost up front, and maybe it's not going to really sell, maybe it's just not going to happen, and all that money is going to be, it's going to be gone. I think there is not much more to say about that path, unless you would like me to like tell you about sources, how to actually get access to those people that you eventually like, and so on. But I think there are many sources on the internet, and it's really pointless to go into any direction, because there is so many people, so many good producers, good hit producers, who actually are specifically producing for markets, you know, that you have to decide where would I like to position myself as a musician, as an artist, and then you have to move on from there. Good. So now what's the second path? The second path is hiring an independent producer. Now, the independent producer thing is interesting, because you're gonna get a highly artistical, you know, kind of very arty thing. The independent producer always wants to get the best out of the artist, because the more success, and then that the artist has, the better for the producer. He wants the artist to ship his name, you know. So the independent producer doesn't produce everything. So the producer has, if it's a good independent producer, he will have many different acts that want to actually be produced by this producer. And what happens is that this producer does not really, I think he's going to ask you some money up front, but he also knows that because he's not a hit producer, people are not going to be willing to pay up front. You know, they want that producer still to prove that he has the talent to actually make an act great and make it happen and maybe get the first success story. So that's your good position as an artist for working with such an artist, such a producer. Now, on the other hand, the producer also has to, you know, pay the bills at the end of the month, and he has a business model. So maybe it helps to know how the business model of the producer looks like, because you actually, as an artist, know how your business model works, and you actually, that's what I experience from many artists. You know, the budget of the artist is always kind of a problem, because of course you're not a big name yet, otherwise you would be talking to hit producers, and you're looking for that sound that is you and that is going to make it happen. But everything is kind of expensive. If you're looking for great sound, if you're looking for certain things that you see from the big names, you know, so this is going to be costly, but you don't actually have the budget, so you need to make a compromise between spending the money that you have, but negotiating things with the producer so that you get a high quality out of the budget that you have. So the business model of the producer is pretty complex. Now, it's a mix between direct payments, about keeping the rights of the artists at a certain point until the production is covered for the future, and so on. So there is many things involved. So what happens is there is a couple of ways. So it all takes place with the master tapes. You know, the master tapes, once you own the master tapes, then you basically are free from the producer. If you know the master tapes, that means that you give all the money to the producer that he needs to have to make that record a record. Actually, all the costs that come up for that producer are going to be paid by the artist. So that's the most expensive and the most secure way for you as an artist to move on. Now, if you want to actually pay less, then you need to find a producer who's really believing in you, who is going to be willing to reduce that cost, you know, that you have for producing that record. And the producer is going to tell you that you're not going to be the owner of that master tape until you actually have generated the necessary money to buy it back. So this is a complex kind of transaction, because you as an artist have to prove the value of your skills, of your potential. The producer has to examine the market and think where I think that this artist is going to be, you know, successful at a certain point, and he's going to make it, and maybe he is going to be one of my success stories. So it's both parties are kind of thinking in a commercial way for moving on. Now, if you don't think in a commercial way, and that now we're coming back to radio, terrestrial radio stations. If you're not thinking in a commercial way, streaming doesn't pay a lot of royalties, but terrestrial radio does. So if you have big stations all around the world that play your music, you know, there is going to be royalties paid out to you. So if you are an independent artist, and I assume that you are because you're listening to this podcast here, so I believe that this is a very, very important part of your business model. And I think, and now this is the point and the essence of that podcast today, is that even if you are an artist who doesn't want to create terrestrial radio mainstream music, you know, if you are not considering this as an option for you as an artist to sound like this, to really make it happen, to really have the opportunity to be played in the big stations of the world, then you will simply miss out a very important part of your business model. If you don't have a business model because you simply think, I don't want to have a business model, well, that's fine to you. Nowadays, it seems that the music business, as far as I understand it and as far as I see it, I think that the royalties is really what is paying out the most. I mean, you have the live thing, and I'm going to cover this in another podcast, but talking about live is just talking about the complete different aspect of the music industry. Live is completely different. You know, I will show you this in another podcast. I will be talking about what I call the three main sectors of music industry. And that's not actually because I invented this myself. It's because many people tend to see the music business as a three-folded business. But let's leave out life for a moment. Then if you really want to make money with the record industry, as your music, selling your music, actually, you really have to understand how this licensing works. Now, many people at this point maybe will disagree with me. They will come up and say, well, but streaming is paying licenses. YouTube, I have a YouTube channel. Why shouldn't I just become a blogger, you know? Why shouldn't I just post my music and monetize the videos? Well, this is nice. And if you actually manage to get hundreds of thousands and millions of clicks to your website as a musician, that's going to be fine. I mean, there is business models of musicians and bands that work like that, but if you have a close look at those business models of these bands, then you will realize that they don't actually are in the segment that I was talking about before. You know, those artists, they are actually creating cover songs. They are gaining exposure through through the traffic that is generated from people who actually love the original song, and then per chance or by searching the internet are actually visiting the channel of that artist, and then it just spreads the word, and people people are visiting the website, and that's what generates the traffic. Now the thing is, with YouTube, you don't have a lot of royalty, and you have a complete different business model again from what I was talking originally, which means that it's the traditional business model where you are an artist and you want to have your sound and you want to make it as an individual career. You know, you want to be the artist who's upfront and people are going to cover. You know, you want to be that artist that is actually bringing the song out, and then people are just jumping up on your train and start to cover your songs, and then they build their streaming video business model around your song because you are actually the artist who wrote the song, and you are actually on terrestrial radio gathering all the big revenue from those royalties. So that means that if you're not talking to a hit producer, you need to find a way to stay true to yourself, but considering the fact that you must reach those terrestrial radio stations. And this is really where you are working with the independent producer. And it's not, the independent producer doesn't want to kill you as an artist. The independent producer tries to make a bright future for you as an artist by taking what is there, you know, your sound, your songs, your style, and then there must be a kind of transcription into something which is actually internationally playable, something that can make it into the big radio stations. So at the end of the day, when you go down that road, that means that you will be focusing on your own style. You will need to rehearse a lot. You will need to write a lot. You will need to be yourself. You need to find an identity for you as an artist and communicate that the best you can to the producer. But then there is a point where you have to let go, and you need to put your faith into the skills of that independent producer, so that the independent producer can understand your identity, understand your songs, understand your talent, sees the potential. And then you need to let that producer find a way to actually make you successful, in the sense that he's going to bring your sound to the people in a way that he understands. Because the professional aspect of understanding what the crowd, what the people out there want to hear, you know, that's also a kind of talent, and it needs also a lot of skill and know-how to actually know how you need to present and produce a song, so that the people are emotionally connected to what you are saying. You know, it's not the message of the lyrics, it's not the message of the way you play the instruments, but it's the message of the energy that you know, that every record needs to have. It's something very technical, and sometimes it's also something very very personal. But it, at the end of the day, it's the job of the producer to kind of send your music acoustically over to the listener, you know. And that's something where you just have to let go. It forces you to work with people, you know, with the producer, to communicate your vision of your songs. And it's a long-term business relationship. You know, if you're really making it, and if you have found the right person, then you will work with that person for years, and that producer will grow with you, and you will the more you work with him, and the better and more successful you are, the more you will be able to let go, and you will be focusing on what you do the best, and he's going to focus on what he does the best, and you will together, you will grow, you know, and you will make it happen as a team. So that's the second path. Then there is the third path. So the third path is something very, you know, I went through this, and I'm not saying it's the wrong way. It's just a path that's going to be a very long path, because you will have to do your music, rehearse, be an artist, and at the same time, you will have to split all your available resources to also become a producer. That means that you will need to learn technical stuff, which is not for all the artists, you know. Some artists simply don't like that, you know. But being a producer means you have to understand all the tools available in the studio. You need to be technically you need to understand, you know, how things work. I mean, sometimes it means that you will need to read the handbook. You will need to read books, because some things are very technical, and it's just simply written in a book, you know. You need to know about sound waves, about physics. You need to know about instrumentations, about arrangements. You can learn by doing things, but there is a lot of theoretical basis that has to be learned. So if you're going down that path, you will need to invest. You will need to invest in schools. You will need to go to school and learn that thing. You will need to invest in teachers. Maybe you can even make a deal with a studio or with an independent producer who will be willing to teach you things. You know, maybe that's going to be easier, because you will be learning by doing. What I do often is people who want to do them it themselves, you know, I just give them classes on a specific topic. You know, they want to know more about sampling and synthesis, so I'm going to give them the personal class, the teaching to those people, and then they move on, and once they have learned it, they have maybe questions, maybe they want to have a more detailed understanding of that, so they having another class and another class, then they move on. All the money that they spend is going to improve their skills, their knowledge, and they're going to be a bit closer to the point where they actually don't even need a producer. They simply need the equipment, the tools, they need the vision, they need the creativity, and then suddenly and slowly and progressively, they will be able to create the sound that they actually want to create, you know. And if if you want to go along that path, then it's interesting because you're going to be one of those modern artists, you know, that who actually write the songs and perform the songs, maybe in the studio or at your home studio, whatever, with any technique that you have, and you directly connect from the song to the end product, which is actually a record. But, and now this is the point, and with this I would like to finish off this first podcast. You need to keep in mind that it all comes down to that business model, and that business model is the terrestrial audio, the terrestrial radio stations. You need to make sure that you will be you will be able to pay the bills at the end of the month. And as I said, terrestrial radio station airplay is a considerable amount of money as for independent artists if they are played on a regular basis all around the world. And if you neglect this fact, that means that your business model is going to be a very complicated one, because you need in some way to find a way to earn that money, which is simply not available to you because you're not on terrestrial radio stations. So you need to find another business model, and if you can do that, that's fine. But my personal advice and kind of the essence of that first podcast is you need to think of how producing your music so it reaches terrestrial radio stations. At least at the moment, this is a crucial thing for any serious professional artist who wants to develop a career with his own music. Okay, so I thank you for having listened to that first podcast. I really would appreciate if you leave a comment, or if you go and visit my website, send me a message, let me know what you think, what are your goals, maybe you would like me to talk about a specific topic in the future here in this podcast. Just drop me a line there and let me know. Okay, so I wish you all the best, may all your goals be reached, and I hope that you will be very successful and productive for the future. Okay, see you guys, bye bye. My name is Sebastian Pertillo, I'm a recording artist and producer from Switzerland. Thanks, bye bye.